Experts take the couch. The living room on 938 Live.
The negotiator is in the house. Negotiate to Win, that's the title of a brand new book written by our guest today in the living room, Jim Thomas. And this is a book that puts together 21 rules for successful negotiating. Have you ever encountered lots of difficulties? Yes, putting your point across, getting it accepted. Well, what's the difference between persuasion and negotiation? That could also be one question that you'll be asking yourself. Some people view it to be one and the same, but are they persuasion and negotiation? Let's find out from Jim. I believe he would have some answers for us on this.
When people get together to have conversations, debates, arguments, to sell things, in fact, really most interpersonal contacts are persuasion at their heart. We persuade probably 95% of the time, and very successfully. Negotiation is a very different technique than persuasion, and you would only actually invoke negotiation when you couldn't get what you needed via persuasion. The example that I like to use is that of Madeleine Albright and Kim Jong-il. In Clinton's second term, Madeleine Albright was tasked with the job of persuading Kim Jong-il, the dear leader himself, to stop building a missile called the Nodong, which actually threatened the United States. So she jetted over to North Korea and sat down with Kim and did the typical American logical argument. She said, "Kim, I want you to stop building that missile because it's a bad thing to do, so stop it." And she fully expected that Kim was going to go, "All right, Madeleine." Didn't happen. Instead, he said, "Get out of here, go home, we'll do whatever we want." So 6 months later, she goes back to North Korea, sits down with Kim, goes through the same exact argument, stop building that Nodong missile, etc. And then she added, and Kim, as an extra added attraction, "We will give you $4 billion. To which Kim replied, "Madeleine, now you're talking." So case one, the first instance, it was persuasion. Here's what I want you to do, and here's why it's a good thing to do. And case two, it's what here's what I want you to do, and here's how I'm going to make it worth your while to do it. So the difference is... basically, persuasion explains why, and negotiation buys the other side's agreement via concession. Mm. And the shorthand for it is, when you can't sell them, as in persuade them, you can usually buy them, as in negotiate with them.
So successful negotiations would never happen without concessions.
Exactly. Concessions are the heart of the process.
Well, there are 10 commandments, of course, that we know of, and you've come up with 21 rules governing successful negotiating. Any tips on how we can commit all of those to our heart?
I think it would be a disaster. I think you would drive yourself and everyone around you right up the wall. There of the 21 rules, there are really just 6 that make a huge difference. The others are there because I want the list to be complete. I don't want anybody to say, "Well, you left this out." So the list is exhaustive, but it does not follow that you need to do all those rules. The top 6, and I probably can get through them in 1 minute. The first rule is to trade your concessions rather than just give them away. Get in the habit of saying, "Yes, if I can do that, but I need you to do this in exchange." Your concession has value, and it should be exchanged for value received. Secondly, is to start assertively. Put the most assertive offer before the other side that you can at the beginning. Expect a negative reaction because you will probably get it. And then from there, you can then be flexible and let them save face. The third rule has to do with setting an opening and a target and a bottom line for each issue. That's your homework as a negotiator, and that makes all the difference, it seems, because often people come very unprepared, and they just sort of kind of wing it. But in fact, it's critically important to set an opening, a target, and a bottom line position for each issue. The fourth rule is something called crunch, which basically says to the other side, "I heard your offer. I don't like it. Give me a better one." And an example of a crunch would be, "Where do we go from here on this? That's not going to work for us. We need a better number. Sharpen your pencil." Fifth, we're almost done. Fifth rule says, treat all the issues as a package. In other words, if you have 10 things to negotiate, you would not settle one and then go on to two and settle two. You'd wait until the very end and settle all of them at once. And that way, if the other side gets difficult toward the end, you can say, "Well, if that's the stance you're going to take, then we'll have to go back and take another look at issue two." So you have the ability to go back and reconsider things all the way to the end, which means you have a lot of leverage all the way to the end. The last of the 6 really critical rules is something called nibbling. And nibbling is a small concession that you seek and almost always receive right at the very end of the negotiation in exchange for closure. For example, "All right, I'll tell you what, I will agree to that if you can give us an extra 0.5%. Just a tiny little concession at the end. Almost never would that cause any kind of discomfort on the part of the other side. And considering the sort of profit margins that business are looking at today, that is a major contribution to profit right there.
Jim, has my mom spoken to you before? We bought a car not too very long ago, and she did that same thing, the nibble bit, where it was just a little bit of a, you're throwing the car tinting, won't you, after she, you know, gotten everything else bargained for.
And Sammy, you said, I don't know this woman, I've never seen her before.
Sure. All right, that's negotiating for you. Six rules, at least if you can't remember all 21 like I can. Haha, kidding. You can remember those six rules, which are once again found in this book titled Negotiate to Win, How to Get the Best Deal Every Time by our guest today, Jim Thomas. So really that first rule, no free gifts, seek a trader for each concession you make. Really, it's about that tit-for-tat approach. You know, we want ultimately to satisfy both sides.
Well, we assume that if we give the other side something, that they will feel obligated and that they will then in turn give us something back. And, in, you know, historically, that was probably true. People really did feel a sense of obligation. But today, you know, given, perhaps because of, you know, economic, you know, uncertainty and stress, and, you know, people don't do that anymore. You give the other side a concession, say, here, take this. They are not going to feel that sense of obligation. And so then for you to get something in your favor, you're going to have to seek it. And it makes us very uncomfortable. Wouldn't it be nice if people could just, you know, reciprocate, you know, for what we've given them? They don't do it anymore. The notion is you owe me one, and unfortunately, it's a very foolish way to negotiate.
All right, so never give the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I think if you want to maintain your position, no. Maybe with family or close family or close friends, perhaps, but in anything aside from that, no.
Now, negotiations, of course, all of us would know that they can be very highly charged, very tense occasions, with each party knowing, you know, what they want, and with the hope, of course, of walking away from the negotiating table happy. Was that what led you to encourage climate change? It's not really climate change as we know it, but really talking about that positive climate, which is rule number 9 in the book.
Well, you know, having a positive climate is essential in order to be successful, because if you don't have that, you really can't communicate with the other side. But probably the thing that I've done that tends to help deal with the emotional component of negotiation is to get the thing under control, to make it almost mechanical, to make it sort of formulaic, rather than kind of ad-libbing and making it up as you go along. By having a very formulaic and clearly defined approach, the emotions really don't begin to matter all that much, because I've got it right in front of me what I'm supposed to do next and what I'm supposed to do after that, and it's really not a function of the personalities, the emotions, or the issues. It's just simply a mathematical problem. And that gives people a lot of confidence and calms things down a lot.
Well, a lot of things that you've put into your book which will really be useful for the next time we sit down at the negotiating table, but if you could share with us maybe a model negotiation and how it would look or sound like. It could be a business situation or even a governmental situation that you have encountered.
Well, the key to any kind of model negotiation is that, I guess I'll do this from both sides' perspective, that both sides, before they actually get together and meet, have to decide first, what the issues are, and secondly, on each of those issues, to establish a very clear opening position, target position, and bottom line position. That's, in negotiating terminology, those three positions collectively are called the envelope of negotiation. And it's a very difficult task to do it. It takes time, and people get very frustrated doing it, but it's essential to success. If you have those envelopes in place, and assuming that the two sides' envelopes overlap, which is not always the case, then, and you're behaving yourselves the way I'm recommending people do, then if a deal is possible, then you will tend to come away with a deal that is as near to optimal as it can be. Again, without invoking the personalities of the parties.
That's right. Just give them a little bit of the benefit, you know, of the doubt. Look at them in a positive manner, not with evil eyes, take a look, demonizing them, as Jim had said earlier on. Towards the final part of your book, you have some quickies, easy takeaways that would be situation or scenario specific events that we will find ourselves in from time to time, such as negotiating with children, negotiating with your boss about your salary or promotion maybe, or about the purchase that you'd make, perhaps with a house, with a car, and also at retail stores. So let's get into some of them. Children. How do we negotiate with children? They seem to be always winning on that end.
Well, it's interesting. Children are born negotiators. They have a natural instinct to try to change, to change their position. And unfortunately, adults tend to suppress this because we see this behavior as being talking back. And so we tend to say, you know, you will take what you're offered and you'll like it. And unfortunately, what the child learns from that is to be submissive and to accept what's offered and to not ask questions. And in terms of being a successful adult, that is not good behavior to learn. So I think as parents, we really need to think, certainly many things in a household cannot be negotiated with children. Sometimes things just have to be done that way without a whole lot of discussion. But where there is an opportunity to allow the child to feel like they have, in fact, changed the arrangement that was proposed to them, it really is very empowering for the child and gives them a sense of control over their world.
And let's look at the other situation that's going to be something very relevant to Singaporeans. We are big shoppers, as you can tell. How would we negotiate the next time we head out to the stores, or perhaps if we're traveling overseas, you know, where we start haggling along the roadside with people who come on board and try to get us to buy the souvenirs? I had a situation in Kenya where this fellow came up to me and wanted me to buy a wooden piece of giraffe. It was a giraffe made of wood, quite long. It's about half a meter high, and said $50, and I said no, 10. He said 50. I was like no, 10. So he came down to 20, and I said no, 10, and he said okay, 10. And when I wanted to pay him, he said 15. I said no, you can take back your giraffe then. And then he said okay, 10. So what can we learn about, you know, negotiating with retailers?
Well, first of all, if you ever had to deal with that person again, I wouldn't want to be in your shows, because you made him lose face. You showed him no flexibility at all.
Yeah.
You opened at 10, you stayed at 10. In the business, that's called an ultimatum. It would have been better if you'd gone to 12, or opened at 8 and then moved up to 10. Mm. That would have been better.
Okay.
But I have some hesitancy in having the audacity to talk to Singaporeans about negotiating at retail. In the West, it's not done, but in this part of the world, it's done all the time. But it's important to realize that the more expensive the item, the more the markup on the item, and the more negotiable it can be. And a very simple place to start is, remember I mentioned something called a crunch. Assuming that there's a price on the item, rather than making a counter offer, in your case, what is 50 and 10, instead of saying any number, just say 50 is not going to work for me. And let's talk about the price. I need a better number. See what the person does. He might have been willing to sell it for 5. So by leading with this crunch, you perhaps can find out some additional information, and maybe your expectations were too low.
All right. So, well, I could have gotten a better deal, or maybe I could not have, but... Well, who's to know, really? Negotiations can be quite complex and confusing sometimes to you, but perhaps to get you along the road to having more successful negotiations, this book would come in handy, titled Negotiate to Win, How to Get the Best Deal Every Time. Jim Thomas has been spending time with us. He is the author of this book, and he's, of course, lent his advice to presidents of the U.S., including Fortune 500 firms, as well as the World Bank, just to name a few. And we have been chatting with Jim about, yes, the art of negotiating. Jim, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and insight on this matter.
Thank you, Sammy.
Definitely is going to be proving helpful for us in life as we travel along to make all those necessary negotiations. Thanks for tuning in to The Living Room on 938 Live. I'm Stanley Leong. Happy negotiating.